good stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of the Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
It is. All of those things. And it's kind of an exciting time. I mean, we're at the end of July, and like harvest is literally right around the corner.
Crazy to think.
I know.
It does happen fast.
It does. I mean, and it's funny because I always think the farmers, the grape growers are going to be like, oh, harvest. But they're like little kids in a candy store. They love harvest.
Oh, they can't wait.
They love like the equipment's all like shiny and ready to go, lined up. Like the bins are getting ready. So, I mean, Virgin started kind of early this year. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, we started seeing the grapes turn colors. So clearly we're well into that now. And I mean, I'm hearing potentially some of the first harvests for sparkling. So we obviously pick those at a lower Brix, which means lower sugar level. So less time on the vine, less ripening. So those go to sparkling wines probably like mid-August. So yeah. I mean, we're 2 to 3 weeks out. I mean, the heat spikes a couple weeks ago really, really expedited things.
Are you excited?
I'm excited. You know, it's for me personally, you know, in kind of the end of August, Steve will transition into getting up at 11 p.m. and coming home around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. take a quick nap. I love it. He always gets up and we'll do like dinner together still, which means I'm in charge of dinner, which I don't really cook. So we do a lot of takeout sushi and soup and grilled cheese sandwiches and things I can make. We just gotta survive
through harvest.
Through harvest. And then, you know, he'll go back to bed at like 7 or 8, sleep for a couple hours, and then he's up. And then I stay up till he leaves because I'm a light. Anyway, it's a whole thing. So it's kind of interesting because I transition with a lot of our farmers and get on their schedule really quickly. But I think I'm excited because it's the whole year. You work all year for this one moment of the harvest. The fruit is finally ready and it's going to go on to its forever home and be made into beautiful wine that we get to talk about on the
like
show.
Rescue grapes, like a rescue dog. They're going to their forever home.
They're going to their forever
grapes,
home.
But not like they just, meant to be.
They're meant to be. And then hopefully they end up in a beautiful bottle of wine that ends up in, you know, in someone's glass that, you know, are enjoying great conversation. And we talk about just kind of the magic that wine is and bringing people together. And I think I'm excited for that, for sure.
What percentage of growers do you think have a blessing of the grapes? And do you attend all of them?
I do not. That's a great question. I know Sonoma Valley, as sort of a region within Sonoma County, historically has always done a blessing of the grapes, and they ring the harvest bell, which is just a wonderful tradition. And mm-hmm. like a lot of the farmers come out in their trucks and honk their horns, and it's a lot of chaos and fun out literally in the town of Sonoma. I know a couple other, I think like St. Francis and some of the other wineries will do a blessing, which is really cool. So yeah, I do. It is fun though to see like superstitions and traditions, mm-hmm. like of, you know, I wear the same vest the whole harvest, or I don't shave in the case of the San Giacomo brothers, FYI, we'll be looking for you, and others.
A lot of hairy men during
harvest,
like,
for sure. It's like, you know, they're like owning their extra moments of getting ready because they're just so busy and so tired once they get a couple weeks into harvest, but it's exciting.
I think we need to start compiling some of these traditions.
That would be fun.
You know, like how many burritos are eaten in an average harvest, and how many you know, hamburgers.
A lot of breakfast burritos delivered to crews out in the vineyards. You know, I think a lot of cups of coffee in the middle of the night. I think Starbucks extends their hours for harvest at a couple of their stores, which is really cool. Like, you don't really think about how the community can support our farmers, but that's one way, is to open early. Mm-hmm. So I think, and I don't know, for me, I also get kind of the smell of grapes fermenting around the county, which I just love. It's kind of like this really nice reminder of what's going on.
I'm with you, and all the activity of the trucks and the tractors that you see in the community. I would say, I mean, during COVID, that helped keep me sane because it's like life continued.
That one normal piece.
Yeah, agriculture was still alive.
And I think it's be patient, everyone, when you find yourself behind a tractor on the road, because I kind of love that still happens in our community.
I do too.
Well, all things good stuff today and always on the good stuff. So that is definitely a huge part of it.
And our guest today is very intimately familiar with Harvest. He is a winemaker and vineyard manager of Zialina Winery. Is that how you say it?
Zialina. So. Okay. Yeah. We'll get confirmation.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mark Mazzoni. He is also the founder and co-owner. So, I mean, he's wearing like 5,000 hats. We'll have to ask a lot of questions.
I know, a lot of questions. So much good stuff coming up, and we have a lot of activities ahead of us, too.
Have joined us on The Good Stuff today. Our guest is Mark Mazzoni, founder, co-owner, winemaker, and vineyard manager of Zialina Winery in Alexander Valley. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Wait, with all of those titles, how do you even have time to be here? You're clearly needed in like five other locations.
I know. I think he said he had to keep it really short.
Okay, well, there you go. No, we're super excited to have you on the show, so welcome.
Thank you so much.
So there's so many places to ask questions, but I really want to know, so like maybe start at the beginning. I mean, you're a multi-generational farming family in Alexander Valley, still multi-generations involved. Co-founder or co-owner is with your sister, correct?
That's correct. And yeah, we'll put a number on the generational. So I'm fourth generation, and then fifth generation is coming up with the oldest just turning 16 years old.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. So how did it all begin?
So it all started in 1892. That was when my...
as it does.
Yeah.
As it always 1892. Does. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. That's just like rolled off the tongue.
No okay. big deal.
That's amazing. Okay. 1892. Take us there.
So that was my great-grandfather, Giuseppe, who decided to emigrate here to work at the Italian-Swiss colony. He left his wife and his daughter behind, worked here for 5 years, and sent for the family. So his daughter's name was Lena. And this is the origin of the name Zialina. Mm-hmm. So she was my great aunt. She was the last one born in Italy, was the cook of the family. That's why our emblem is a ravioli stamp, because that was what she made for our holidays.
I love it.
Now I'm hungry.
I know, you shouldn't have mentioned ravioli. So casually. So
I know. I was just like, oh, homemade raviolis. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So from Italian Swiss colony, and I mean, that was a great place to build community, I imagine, and to make enough money to maybe buy land of his own. Is that what he did?
That was what he did. And then they opened up a winery themselves. There was a Mazzoni family winery that mm-hmm. opened in 1906. For those of us that are locals, if you drive south from Cloverdale, you'll see a large barn that says Dr. Pierce's off the side of the highway. Super familiar for most of us. That was the original Mazzoni family winery.
I always wondered.
That's amazing. I did too.
Why does it say Dr. Pierce's?
The story that I've heard, obviously I did not live this back in 1906 myself.
I was going to say, you look great.
Yeah, you're a young man.
But some gentleman was selling some type of remedy, which I believe was most likely opiate-based, and offered $50 to paint that as an advertisement along the old Redwood Highway. So my great-uncle took the money, the old billboard, and so that was how it became the Dr. Pierce's barn.
Okay. I love it. Now we know.
Yeah.
I have wondered that for 20 years.
For sure.
Never asked.
Never
knew who to ask.
Yeah. And all of your sleuthing, because you have a really great history of Sonoma County. So you're going to have to add that in.
I know. I have to add it in. Now, I would like to know where those opioid products were being sold. Were they sold at the winery, or that was just a place for him to lead?
They were not sold
people
at the winery.
Okay.
We had our bond for wine
just
only,
to be clear.
Yeah. But no, it was something. He was some sort of a traveling salesman.
Wow.
Okay.
There you go. Yes. Not slimy at all.
Yeah, nothing weird about that.
Nothing strange. Nothing to see here, folks.
Okay, let's get back to the wine business because we do love that. So that was the original Mazzoni Winery. Then what? I mean, we know a lot of things happened in history, but what happened with your family?
So to keep it short, in 1977, that property went out of the family. That was also the same year that I was born. So we had continued farming all the way through the end of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and to when I started to become become of working age in the 90s, and my father was really adamant that we bring back winemaking to the family. Mm-hmm. So I was tasked with that in the early 2000s, and my sister and I were able to complete Zealina in 2016 to make that the family brand with a winemaking presence again.
And so when it was Mazzoni, are there vintages of wine that you can that you still have or that you can still find?
There are a few 1 gallon jugs under screw cap that are full. That I have not had the audacity to open.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a time stamp right there.
Yeah. A little time capsule. That would be amazing. Well, talk about just, I mean, growing, like, how did you grow up? What was your interest? And it sounds like you got tasked with this, you know, bringing the wine brand back and the wine making. But, I mean, did you want to do that? How does that work?
Well, like any young kid, I probably thought I knew more than I did. But I spent a lot of time in the vineyards with my grandfather. Yeah. Right now, this summertime, I'm with my boys who are 8 and 6. But when I was a kid, summer camp was definitely kind of grape camp. I mean, that's what we did.
The original.
I went and I, you know, worked with my grandfather and helped him out through the physical labor side out in the vineyard. So that was my beginning and my introduction was summer camp. Go hang out with grandpa who has stuff to do all day.
And what did you love about it most? Was it the time with your grandfather? Was it just being outside? Did you actually like kind of learning about the physiology of grapes? Like, what was it that appealed to you?
I don't know if this was how it got developed, but my wife definitely knows when I've worked all day physically, I'm much happier when I get home. If I spend 2 hours on a computer, I'm exhausted. So I think spending those early days was about an appreciation and developing a joy that comes from physical labor and being outside.
I love it.
And I'm just sort of curious, so going all the way back, you know, where your family originated from in Italy, and have you been there, and do you still have family there? What do those roots look like?
I have never gone back.
Okay.
My sister has. I have not made it back there. I have traveled extensively. I've made wine in different countries. It's always been for wine is what travel the basis is. I know this sounds strange, but I'm almost saving it for when I can appreciate it as much as it should be appreciated.
No, I kind of love that. So what part of Italy?
So he was a marble miner in Carrara. So that was the work that I avoided by him coming to California.
Why he wanted to leave. That, you know,
it was very
like a joy.
Dangerous work. Yeah.
Wow. Super interesting. That was not what I was expecting you to say. So I feel like we have a lot of folks here from Genoa and have almost the ag farming background and they bring it in those skills here sort of start. But this is very much a reboot of your family's background. That's very cool.
It's avoiding something terrible, it sounded like.
Like,
right, you're willing to cross oceans
and then you end up
continents.
With wine.
And then you find wine, Was he, so who, I'm trying to remember like that era of Italian-Swiss colony. I mean, do you remember anything about kind of that era for your grandfather? Like who else was there? Were there other people from his region or was it just kind of a mix?
No, it was definitely a lot of people from that region, and that was the history of that Italian-Swiss colony, was so many families that came from the same area to work there. Mm-hmm. So our original neighbor was Segacio that we shared a fence line with there. So, you know, every time I'm in Hillsburg, if I'm at Big John's, I typically run into somebody that tells me that we're cousins, right? I mean, this is, this is how that Italian-Swiss colony really permeated throughout Hillsburg and the families that are there.
Yeah, I wonder how, I mean, it seems to me that that would really help with sort of the reason Sonoma is such an amazing community of of farmers is because people do sort of feel like we're originally from the same place, more or less. And then there is a lot of just cross history of probably families working for other families or grapes being sold to other wineries. So at what point, did you go to school to learn more about winemaking and viticulture, or are you completely self-taught?
Self-taught with a lot of great mentorship.
Okay.
So the hard work that was instilled in me by my grandfather and my father was what really opened the doors when I decided to come back and participate in the industry. I was in my mid-20s, and it was, you know, you're the guy that's carrying the buckets and shoveling the tanks. So I was never scared of that. And because of that, that really opened up a lot of doors for people to say, teach me things along the way. So that started out at the Kenwood Lab, was my very first vintage, and learning the basics of enology there. I'm certainly not going to be qualified to work in a research laboratory for phrenology, but I know the basics.
But you know what you need to know.
I know what I need to know, yeah.
And so, and that meant, you know, speaking of mentors, that was Mike Lee, correct?
That is correct, yeah. Mike was a family friend, and he had purchased Zinfandel from us, where they had a vineyard designate, Mazzoni Vineyard Zinfandel at Kenwood. So there was, sometimes the Mazzoni Vineyard's name was on different labels throughout that time between 77 and when we opened up in 2016. But now we're Mazzoni Vineyard Zinfandel ourselves.
I'm just, you know, just continuing with Mike Lee. I mean, what do you think, I mean, why was he such an important mentor? Like, what did he leave you with?
He left me with a real passion for connecting all the dots. So when we worked in the lab, and if there was a few minutes where we didn't have something to do, the expectation is that we would go down into the tasting room and we would talk and we would work. So there's never a day, and this is so much what I love about the business, is, and you mentioned all these different job titles I have, there's not one day where I do just one of those. Every day is something different. So one of the sayings that I have is that, you know, every day is different, but every year is the same. There's a seasonality to this that we do, and you know, there's, and September always carries its own thing, but there's never a time where I'm not doing multiple things at once. And Mike taught me the love of that and bouncing back and forth in between them.
The ultimate multitasking.
I mean, I think it comes with any aspect of the wine industry, doesn't it? I mean, whether you're in marketing or advocacy or farming or...
Yeah, you're, I mean...
Anything.
Yeah. No, I like that the years are the same, but every day is different. I think that is very, very appropriate summary.
Most mornings you start in the vineyard when it's cool, and then by the end of the night, maybe I'm at a winemaker dinner, right? Yeah. So you've run the entire gamut of the process.
Love it.
So how hard was it to, like, find your style of winemaking, or what, you know, besides Mike and some of your early days, like, how did you, I mean, what wines are you making, and how did you kind of find your way to that?
So the winemaking process for me started there at Kenwood, and then I bounced around, and you work in different cellars, you do a harvest in the Southern Hemisphere, you have to check those boxes. I think it's an important part of the development. And then the next probably very significant event for me was in 2005. I was over in Napa at Vineyard 29, working for a lot of different consulting winemakers. But I met Philippe Melka there, and he really taught me a lot about specifically Cabernet and how to build wines instead of make them was kind of the way that we approached it. And I was fortunate enough to work with him for a long time, and he was very generous with his knowledge.
And Philippe, you know, eventually came to Sonoma County, and one of the wineries that he was involved with was Flanagan, and then you took over there. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I came over into the Bennett Valley location where Corsi Graves is now. Was working with Eric and working by myself. This was something that started out where I've worked a lot of harvests with no intern. I've been just by myself. And when I drew up Zealina, I was at Flanagan. I developed it as a facility where I could work by myself. And I've done that. I've quite a few harvests. I'm now getting a little slower. So now I do have some physical help at Zealina. An amazing person, Elio Padilla, works with me on the ranch as my ranch manager. And we do the vineyard work and some of the smaller blocks ourselves, and then also the winemaking.
So maybe, I don't think we've actually gotten the perspective, like, how much do you farm? How many acres? Yeah. And where is it actually? Where are you physically located?
So we're right outside of the town of Geyserville. If you cross the bridge on 128, we're just right there by the Oriental Community Hall. It is 100 acres that is contiguous as a block. And then the winery is situated right off of River Road in the middle of the vineyards. So I always think of it as kind of like a little bit of an oasis. And I like people to come to the estate so they can experience the vineyards themselves. I have a head prune block that I planted around that even the landscaping kind of drives you into it. I want people to be immersed in the vineyard side. I think that connection's very important when you're drinking wine.
It really is.
No, I mean, that's great. And so, what do you all grow? Tell us more. Break it down. We need all your stats. We need all your stats.
Well, here's where maybe I'll get some numbers wrong. Yeah, but it's predominantly planted to Cabernet Sauvignon, where I have farmed, and this is going back through when my father was alive, over 30 years of selling to Jordan Winery. They've been an incredible partner to us. And continue to be. So that is the bulk of the ranch is going to be in Cabernet Sauvignon, specifically devoted to them. And then I also have some old vineyard, some old vine Zinfandel, which is personally important to me. Going back to the days of Philippe and making wine is, you know, they didn't want to make Zinfandel. So I had to kind of build my own building just to make Zinfandel. I really thought it was super important to the heritage of the family, to the story. I don't think we can be in California. I don't think we can be in Sonoma County and not have Zinfandel be a part of us. This is important. So we have, I farm some of the Zinfandel for myself and then also for Jackson Family Wines. Dave Reddy over at Murphy Good makes the Liar's Dice Zinfandel that's been around for a while, if anybody's had that. And my dad
recently had that at an event. It was great.
It's a fabulous wine. My dad was an avid dice player. There was a game of Liar's Dice that was played in Geyserville amongst different vineyard managers.
I can picture that.
So that was part of the development of that brand.
Oh, really? So he was partly the inspiration for the name?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is another good story
to
get into.
I love when, there's so many things that are part of Sonoma County history that you, I don't say, you kind of just take for granted, and then you find the backstory, and it's fascinating, and it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with our guest, Mark Mazzoni. We are back on The Good Stuff with our guest, Mark Mazzoni from Zialina Winery. I'm just kept thinking about the ravioli. So
you just rolled the I into the end.
I know. I was like, ravioli. No, Zialina. Anyway, so tell us a little bit more about, the winemaking that you're, the wines that you're making at the winery, what in addition to what you're growing and selling, and maybe a little bit more about how people can come and visit.
Sure. We can talk about the wines that we're making. We are focusing on concrete. So I have a Sauvignon Blanc, and I have a Rosé of Sangiovese, and those are the two whites that I make. Both of them hand-picked, whole cluster pressed, and fermented in concrete eggs. So small production.
Whole cluster fermented for this, you said for the Sauvignon Blanc?
There is an overnight soak on the whole clusters, but it's whole cluster pressed.
Pressed, okay.
If we don't press on the stems, I mean, I was comparing this the other day, it's like making fajitas without the onions. You need to have the phenolics.
I love that
structure. Hand-picked, whole cluster pressed. Okay. For the reds, the lineup is Zinfandel.
Right. Of course.
The family favorite. This is the heritage. This is the story of us being out in the Alexander Valley. It's all about Zinfandel. And then I also make a Cabernet Sauvignon, small lot. Tells a little bit about my winemaking background, which was specifically a lot of Cabernet. For where we are, we mentioned we're in Geyserville. One of the things when my sister and I developed this that we thought was important, this is back to the name, Zialina, she was incredibly hospitable, was to have a winery that people could come in and could access, and no matter who they were, that they would get a glass of wine. So I like to say there's no gate, there never will be. We're open 7 days a week. We accept walk-ins. Of course, if you make a reservation, we're more than happy to do a seated tasting. It's what we recommend. So we have the proper staffing there. But the idea being that any member of the community is more than welcome to come in and to experience that site and to be able to share it.
What kind of love that?
I do love that. Mm.
And talk about, and then do you do any personal tours or get folks out in the vineyard or how does that work? Anything?
I do. Among my many jobs, I'm crossing the parking lot, and I'm sure there are a few people that will attest to it. I'm more than happy to take people in, and we take people into production quite a bit. Mm. I mentioned those concrete tanks. So the devotion to concrete is completely mine, and I'm the driver behind it, but we ferment everything in concrete. Huh. So we invite people to come into the production facility to come and see and to touch those concrete tanks themselves and to explain how the winemaking process works and the importance of a state. I think that's a really important thing. So I grow all of the fruit that Zialina produces. And so none of the fruit leaves the estate. It is handpicked. It is brought over in bins. It is not transferred onto a truck. It is not put on the road.
Yeah.
It is not sitting in the sun somewhere down on the freeway during a traffic jam. And everything is handpicked fresh in the morning and processed there. So we like to show people that process and let them come in and see it, because I think that's a really important thing. When people want to know what goes into their wine, they need to see the facility itself.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, but the concrete piece, why is that important? Is that something that you've always wanted to do, or is it something that developed over time? Is it something you picked up working in other wineries?
Definitely something I, you know, did in other wineries. But as I thought about, you know, building Zealing and having it be generational, what was the important part of that? And I think it's important that the Zealina wines have an imprint. So even though we sell fruit to other locations, the wine that's made there in those concrete tanks is unique to that brand, to Zealina. Those tanks are used for fermentation, and there's an interaction between the concrete and the fruit, as opposed to stainless steel, which is completely inert. And if you're talking about fermentation, fermentation is when we build all the flavors. This is the most important
critical part.
Right? This is it. Yeah. It's this magic of fermentation. So to have that take place in concrete tanks that are unique to us, that's what makes the unique imprint for Zealina.
Yeah, for sure.
So we kind of really haven't talked about this, but you've brought her up. So talk about working with your sister and what that's like, and how did you both decide you were doing that? How do you divide things up? What do you fight about? No, I mean, you know, we've been getting some juicy tidbits.
Yeah, we like family stories. Are there other siblings? The two of you?
It is just the two of us. She is my older sister, but even if she wasn't, she would still be the boss. She is, her background is finance. So she runs the business side. Obviously, my background in the production side lends me to that. And it's amazing with wine and a small family business, how many different skill sets you need to be able to survive.
Sure.
So we're doing our best to cover the bases between the two of us. Of course, we have an amazing, wonderful staff that's up there. Our hospitality staff is incredible. So we have a small but mighty team, but the ownership being just her and I think it's something we have the common goal. Mm-hmm. And when you have the common goal in mind of being able to keep, you know, our family history part of the history of Alexander Valley, this is something that we're both very passionate about. We won't get too deep into the headwinds that we're facing with small family farms, specifically Measure J. But I think it is really important that we do keep small family farms a part of it. And I do have that responsibility with my own personal history to keep that around. That being said, I think probably the most exciting thing is the amount of talent and wonderful people that are coming up that don't have that history, but are a part of this industry. Mm-hmm. Some of the diversity that's coming in, some of these young people that are traveling from other places to come to Sonoma County. I think it's super important. I mean, Sonoma County is an exciting place to make wine.
Absolutely.
So what do you know you and your sister are going to agree upon? And what do you know that's always going to be the little bit of a tug of war? What are those things? I got to know.
So my sister knows that 2 hours I get very tired on a computer. That's my weak spot. Me organizing myself to sit down at a desk. If I have the option to go for a walk in a vineyard or do paperwork, I'm going to take that walk in the vineyard.
Every time. Do you have a dog?
I do not have a dog.
Okay.
I do not. I have two kids and two cats.
We could fix that.
I've got a couple of cats, so I wish my cats would walk in a vineyard with me, but they just won't.
They don't. I don't think it's too. They like their paws to be clean and inside,
especially mine. They're very high maintenance, so so that's funny. And what do you like when it comes to actual? Well, I should ask. You don't do any blends. Do you do any blends?
I have one blend, that we can talk about because it's a really fun wine, and it's something that I developed that was specific to Zealina. It's those head pruned vines that are planted around the winery that I invite people to walk in. Mm-hmm. If anybody that's ever walked through a head pruned vineyard or walked through a trellised vineyard knows that a head pruned vineyard is way more fun. So much more engaging.
Beautiful.
And gnarly.
And interesting. Yeah. So this is a field blend. It's something that I take care of myself. It's 2,200 vines. They're planted rootstock that I graft myself after a full year in the ground. And then train that up just to stake. So there's no infrastructure in the vineyard whatsoever. It's something that I enjoy doing. I call it my therapy because it's my work out there. But it's a field blend of different rootstock or different budwood that I was able to find, some from that old vineyard. I honestly don't know what it is. I can mostly identify it.
That's the fun of it.
Yeah. But that's the fun of it. It's kind of bootleg fuel blend, and it's called Capella. That was a blend that was put together by St. Peter's Parish up in Asti, wine that they had sold for the benefit of the parish. That trademark went away, so I picked it up, and it's that same idea of kind of community and bringing different people together to create wine and to share it.
I love that.
And history.
I'm glad I asked about a blend.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if your sister gets to weigh in on the blends or the final. That's where I was going. And then I was like, do you even do blends? So,
right.
Yeah. So what do you do? We talk a little bit in the start of the show just about superstitions or traditions because we're, you know, at the end of July and harvest is clearly around the corner. Are there any things that you do or don't do every harvest that's sort of like part of your jam, harvest jam?
Well, I definitely don't schedule anything in September, that's for
sure. Fair. But you don't like wear the same socks for 20 days straight or anything? I mean, hopefully not.
That?
No, if you do, we don't want to admit that. But like, anything else?
I think like most winemakers, I grow a beard and I lose about 15 pounds, which is a good thing. Maybe not the beard.
I know, I can always tell. I mean, if you see photos of, because we do have still exec committee meetings during harvest. We don't do board meetings in September, October. But if you were to snapshot those photos, you would see some very, very hairy-faced, you know, male farmers. Not the women, for clarity.
The barbers must get very lonely during that time.
I know, totally.
We have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up with Mark Mazzoni. Are back on The Good Stuff with Mark Mazzoni. And so, Mark, we were talking about all the wines that you are making at Zealina Winery, but you've also done a lot in the vineyards throughout Sonoma County. So tell us a little bit about kind of where you've worked, what you've enjoyed about vineyard work in Sonoma County, and then maybe what you're looking forward to for 2024, what you've seen this growing season.
Yeah, thanks. In 2007, I came over to work in Sonoma County at Flanagan in Bennett Valley, and that was when we hatched the idea for Zealina, and we started that process making wine. Our first vintage was 2012. So after 2013, when those wines got released, I felt like my winemaking career, I had already done 15 harvests at that point, was pretty complete, and I felt really ready just to make Zealina wines. But there was a missing part of my resume, which was vineyard management. Mm-hmm. And I knew that in the window that this, when the winery itself was being built, that that was something that I could work on. Because I knew that at some point I was going to have to manage the vineyards, but I wanted to do it for other people first. I think that's important. So I left and Bennett Valley, which I loved, an amazing region. I left and then I was over in Russian River managing vineyards, working with the Ledbetters at Vino Farms. And having a great time there, and then was eventually transferred up to Alexander Valley. So I've covered a lot of Sonoma County and its different regions and different growing regions. And, you know, I went from very small, being my only myself at Flanagan, to managing a crew of about 180 people.
Oh, my God.
So when you're doing vineyard management, you know, so much, I think where some of my strengths lie is about sequencing and understanding, you know, in what order do we put the work? And what is, you know, one specific person is capable of doing. That was something I spent, you know, every morning doing. I would look at, you know, 800 pruning cuts in the first hour of the day to understand what makes those decisions. So when I got the opportunity to manage vineyards for myself in 2019, and I was managing just the 100 acres when before I was at 2,700.
Wow.
Right?
That's
a
big difference. This seems manageable.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really important is seeing the different scales and sizes. I've worked in something that's very boutique, of something that's very large in scale. And it's always about, I mean, wine is balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's no different balancing your time or balancing anything else. So we find a way to balance the scope and scale of what we're trying to do to be somewhere where we're able to find that harmony in the winemaking and in the vineyard management.
I do think people underestimate the level of logistics that happen in winemaking and grape growing and just farming. I mean, I always say during harvest, I feel like all of our growers are like air traffic controllers at an airport. We're like, especially the vineyard management companies that, you know, referencing the one you worked at, where you're just, you know, managing where the trucks are, the bins, the employees, where's the crew going next, you know, trucks are crossing on the street, I mean, all of that, it's a lot of logistics.
It is.
It's a 24-hour-a-day job, 100%, when you're picking. And,
yeah.
You know, we were running, you know, hand crews night and day. We're running machines all night, and you're moving and staging everything. And then you have somebody, you know, a winemaker that says, well, I want to pick this one row, but not this one row, right? So you're managing all of those different things. Not everything is always readily available. It was our job to manage that, to do it. So when I get into harvest, I'm pretty calm and collected because I've seen everything from the small to the large.
Which is hugely valuable. So give us a quick, you know, snapshot of what you're seeing for 2024.
You know, a lot of healthy plants, a lot like last year where we had this heavy rainfall. So we're seeing that abundance. So right now, I mean, the secret for a lot of this stuff, other than my dry farmed vineyard Capella, is about managing irrigation. That's something that, you know, we're learning to use less and less and less. I am cutting down. I've probably, since 2019, I'm down by half on the amount of water that I put on plants.
That's great.
And really understanding that we don't want any secondary growth. What we're looking for is ripeness.
Well, quick, because we have to wrap up here, what's the website for Zealina so folks can come visit you?
So we're zealina.com. Like I said, located just outside of Geyserville. We are open 7 days a week. There are no barriers to come in to see us. We love to have people come up and to visit and share a glass of wine with us.
And I just want to say Zealina, Z-I-A-L-E-N-A, Zealina Winery and Zealina.com.
Just look for the ravioli stamp.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Mark. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.
To wrap things up on the good stuff, yet another fascinating conversation about fourth generation, fifth generation already coming up.
Yeah, and do you know what I love is I feel like typically folks, at least in the Sonoma County wine community, either you know that they talk and love winemaking, or they're like, definitely like, I'm the farmer, I'm the grape grower, I drop the grapes off. Mark is sort of fascinating because he literally went back and forth of this love of the land and the farming and also this love of winemaking. And I think that's kind of a cool, that's very cool, Mark. Love that.
Well, and completely self-taught. We've had we've had a lot of that on the show, but very deliberate about what he needed to learn more. You know, where to learn it, from whom. Just really fascinating.
Yeah, so definitely I think folks should go visit Zealina Winery.
You said, no barriers to visiting.
No barriers. I like that. So we do have Tuesday night coming up, as we do every week,
every
which is kind of awesome.
Every
Thank
week,
you.
There's a Tuesday
Thank
night.
Thank you, week. There's Tuesday. Thank you for Tuesday, where we have to do our good stuff, drink the good stuff wine, which is the origin of the show. So I'm just going to throw out, because I was super inspired by the history, his family's history, and I'm going to try, I think the current vintage is the 19 Capella, which is originally the sacramental jug wine of the Italian Swiss colony. So made by Mark and Lisa Mazzoni's great-grandfather Giuseppe, I love this on the website, circa 1899.
Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
All right.
How
well,
about you?
I'm keeping with the history, too, although it's a newer wine for him, I'm sure, but Rosé of Sangiovese.
Yeah.
So going back to those Italian roots, 2023 is current vintage. But you know what I mostly love about it? You can get a Magnum.
Me. Oh, dear. So does that mean I'm coming over?
I think
I'm hoping
at least a couple other people,
Bring my friends is what I'm hearing. Please, let's throw a little mini Tuesday night party.
But I love that. It's, you know, he's, again, that word deliberate. He's so deliberate about the concrete egg, the way he wants to ferment it. I'm sure the way that he wants to farm it, every little aspect of
all the nuances.
The production. So very thoughtful guy. Really loved the conversation with him.
Yeah, such a great story. And we're super blessed that we get to live in Sonoma County and every week do a show with a fantastic human that loves our community and loves farming and loves wine.
Multi-generational family farmers. It's kind of our specialty.
It's our jam.
All right. From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.